You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, June the 13th. And is it the last game in Oracle? Will it be the last game of the season tonight? This is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for the listen. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Today, we are going to talk about Game 6, which is tonight in Oakland of the NBA Finals. The Golden State Warriors trying to hold serve at home against the Toronto Raptors like they were not able to do in Games 3 and 4 earlier this series. We're also going to talk about rising players of the draft, falling players of the draft, and who Jeremy Wu likes for the Pistons at number 15. Also, some second-round talk. That's right. Draft expert Jeremy Wu of Sports Illustrated going to join us a little bit later on today. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at Matt underscore Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H. Another underscore after that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons dash Matt Shook. But the second part of the Locked On NBA mock draft is up and live right now on the Locked On NBA feed. Local experts in every draft room, trades, expert player breakdowns from our own SI.com's Jeremy Wu, who helped out with this project, and also get reaction from Josh Lloyd. He gives the fantasy basketball breakdown from the Locked On Fantasy Basketball desk. It is all on Locked On NBA, a great yearly venture we do here on the Locked On Podcast Network. And the first time that I get to be involved is last year when the Pistons drafted. Obviously, I was not involved in the first round mock draft because the Pistons did not have a pick. But hey, first of all, congratulations to the St. Louis Blues fans out there. I have a lot of friends in Missouri when I used to live there. So the Stanley Cup champions, how does that sound? St. Louis Blues beating the Boston Bruins in Game 7 on Wednesday night. So big ups to all of them. Some good sports stuff there. Always good to see teams winning championships, especially when it's a team that's not from Boston. So speaking of good sports stuff, though, Game 6 tonight, Thursday night, back in Oakland, a 9 p.m. start there. The early line was Golden State favored by 3. It's now down to 2.5. Still, we know that Kevin Durant will be out. He ruptured his Achilles tendon, as he announced himself on social media on Wednesday afternoon, after he had already had his surgery on the injury. Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN.com is reporting that Kevin Durant will be out for all of next season. Seems a little premature on that, on my opinion, because we've seen guys like Boogie Cousins and everyone else pretty much lately. I know that this is the very end of this season, so that pushes the timeline back a little bit, but I don't think that anyone was expecting Boogie Cousins to play as quickly as he did, and it seems to be kind of the trend as guys recover a lot quickly. So obviously, maybe Adrian Wojnarowski knows something about this particular injury more than I do, but it seems like a little bit of a gun jumping to say that gun jumping. I don't think you've ever heard that one, but to say that KD's for sure out for next season, we will see. Certainly, he can exercise his option to come back one more year for the Warriors at $31.5 million to sit on the bench and rehab the injury. And he rightfully should. He deserves that money if the Warriors put him in, especially if the Warriors signed off on him going out there and getting the injury. I mean, he deserves it no matter what way you look at it. But will he turn down that option and take the big money on the open market? Does this change his feelings about possibly going back to Golden State? High drama, and not just how it pertains to this series between Golden State and Toronto, because as we know, the NBA is very little about what actually happens in the games and on the court. But looking forward to tonight, seeing how it all plays out. Should be quite a moment in Game 6 at Oracle Arena. Kevon Looney, somehow Superman, is listed as questionable still. What? That guy is just a freak. We'll see how that all plays out. The final game ever in Oracle Arena in Oakland before the Golden State Warriors move to their new shiny digs in San Francisco next year. And all day on Thursday today, I will be out at State Baseball in Lansing at the campus of Michigan State University, East Lansing, to be exact. And man, I'm looking at the weather forecast as I tape this late on Thursday night. Looks like a lot of rain, probably some delays. Maybe they'll just call the whole day early, who knows. But pray for your boy. Hopefully I'm not just sitting there watching the rain all day. And if they do call the whole day early, I can get in the car and watch all of Game 6 and be pleased about that. A key to the basketball game for tonight, Game 6, is that Klay is going to have a bad shooting night at some point. I don't believe that he's going to continue his 20 for 35 type of percentage clip going forward. It's a ludicrous percentage. He's been great, and maybe he will. I mean, he's the best shooter maybe that I've ever seen at this point. But my question, as it pertains to Clay and possibly slowing down a little bit from threes, will Andre Iguodala, will Draymond Green, will Quinn Cook, who's been making some huge three-pointers in this series, will those guys knock down enough shots? Will there be enough complementary pieces to Clay and Steph Curry? They're going to need that, right? It feels like they're going to need another body to step up. Will Draymond score a little bit more than he has? Will Andre Iguodala turn back the clock a little bit? Will there be a surprise by a Jordan Bell type, hobbled Kevon Looney, former Piston Jonas Jerebko? Will someone step up and play and play well here in Game 6 tonight? Predictions? Man, I got no idea. I wouldn't be shocked if Toronto wins this on the road. A lot of people are writing off Toronto's chances in Game 6 tonight at Oracle. I don't feel that quite yet. I think it's kind of a toss-up. I'm probably taking the points, actually, if I'm betting on this one. Take Toronto, take the points, the 2.5. There's just not a lot of good Golden State players right now. They're relying on players that should not be getting quality minutes in the NBA Finals, and here we are. They're getting just those kind of players to play quite a bit of minutes. But next, we're going to talk to Jeremy Wu of Sports Illustrated about all things Pistons draft. Had some questions about these wings to lay on them. Talking second round, talking point guards as well. But the Himalaya podcasting app, as you know by now, it's free. It's super easy to use. Has every single podcast you love and are searching for. Personally curated playlists made just for you by our expert podcast tastemakers, which are out there. They know all about what you like. Don't be afraid. Find and download Himalaya on the App Store or Google Play Store. Don't forget to follow Locked On Pistons once you are there as well. When you get in your car, go ahead and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Pistons.
Yes, sir!
All right, we're going to talk to Jeremy Wu here in a second, but I wanted to say once again, thanks to Untuck It for sponsoring the Locked On Pistons podcast. If you're looking for a great Father's Day idea, their shirts are specifically designed to look great untucked and feel comfortable at work or on the weekend. No tucking or tailoring required. Go to untuckit.com, promo code NBA to get 20% off. Now here is my interview with Jeremy Wu of Sports Illustrated, one of the better draft experts out there. Enjoy this one, folks. All right, and now we're being joined by Jeremy Wu of Sports Illustrated. You can hear him on the Locked On NBA mock draft, breaking down each of the picks, and also follow him on Twitter at Jeremy Wu. That's W-O-O. Jeremy, thanks for taking the time to join us today.
Yeah, of course. What's going on?
Yeah, so you got the newest mock draft, which came out on Tuesday with Keldon Johnson going from Kentucky, going to the Pistons at 15. It's a guy who's kind of been all over the place throughout mock draft season. What's there for Pistons fans to kind of know about his game?
Yeah, I think Keldon is a guy who has been helped by his intangibles, I think, over the course of this process. I think teams are viewing him as a likely top 20 pick at this point. There's still some variance, but I think, you know, he had a pretty good season at Kentucky. He wasn't featured offensively all the time. It wasn't like a prolific season. But, you know, that was a team that was sort of greater than the sum of its parts in a lot of ways. I think his, you know, offensive game, he's pretty skilled. He needs to get better off the dribble. But his biggest thing is that he's really tough. He plays really, really hard. You never have to worry about him showing up. And I think, you know, that aspect of it as sort of, a wing with some size, and, you know, he's a good, not elite, but good athlete. I think all those things sort of contribute to creating a pretty, like, feeling of, you know, this is a guy you kind of know what you're getting. You can kind of plug him in at some point and you'll get value on the first contract.
And throughout mock draft season and ESPN on their draft show on Tuesday night, and also with Givney's latest mock draft on ESPN.com, Romeo Langford of Indiana is a guy that's slotted to the Pistons at 15. And I know you had an article recently placing him as one of the maybe more overrated players out there throughout this season. And I know that you and I kind of share a little bit of a belief that maybe he's a little bit overhyped in this process too. But what are your thoughts on Romeo?
Yeah, you know, he's a guy who I get the sense is sliding a bit. I think he, you know, may well, I know he's invited to the green room. He may well fall out of the lottery. I think that's sort of the sense people have. It's tough to peg with these guys right now just because there are so many picks that, you know, may get traded. You know, it's hard to know who's targeting who and where, you know. So I think there's some variance. But point being, I think that there's a little bit of, you know, skepticism with him, just with, you know, the year he had. You know, obviously he was playing hurt, so you get some benefit of the doubt. But, you know, he's not a guy who plays with a ton of, like, visible passion. I think teams are sometimes, you know, digging into that, you know, why in this way. But, you know, I do think he should be in play for Detroit at 15. It depends how they feel about him. You know, personally, I don't know if I would do it there. But, you know, he definitely has the NBA body. You know, he has a good pedigree, a good track record, you know, prior to Indiana. You know he can score. He's going to be able to score on some level. You know, if he keeps working, you know, there's something there, right? But, you know, he's a guy who I think could go anywhere between, you know, the late lottery, or he could fall into the early 20s. Sort of in that hole, that mix. You know, for the Pistons, obviously having a need on the wing, I think he's, you know, definitely a candidate for that pick, or should be at least.
And like you said, another guy that might be available in addition to Romeo Langford, and on your latest mock draft, he would be available at 15, is also Brandon Clark of Gonzaga, not the wing that the Pistons are necessarily looking for, more of a smaller big in my eyes anyways. He's another guy that seems to be all over the board too. What do you think about his NBA prospects, and where do you maybe see him at this point?
Yeah, a lot of people have been asking me about Brandon Clark. I think I've probably been lower on him than a lot of people over the course of the season, at least, you know, what you might read online. I personally, I don't think I would take him in the lottery. I think, you know, there's a chance he goes somewhere in the 11, 16 range. I don't think he'll fall much further than that. Like, you know, he'll be a top 20 pick, and I think he's earned that. You know, he had a really, really strong year at Gonzaga. I just think, you know, there's going to be some risk there. Just, you know, A, he's 22. You know, B, he's really a 6'8", 5 man, and he's 210 pounds. And, you know, it's pretty hard to be a 6'8 center in the NBA. It just is. You know, I know that the game is going smaller and faster, but it's really tough, and his wingspan is, you know, only, for what it's worth, his wingspan is, what, 6'8", too. So, you know, I think there are some concerns that I have, at least, and some teams also share, just in terms of translation and what will translate and what won't, because, you know, you get to the NBA and, you know, a lot of great college players, you know, have really good feel, right? When you get to the NBA and suddenly it's faster and all the players are smarter, you know, there's a reason, you know, the speed of the game is quicker. So, you know, he has that adjustment ahead of him still, and you know, it's a lot harder, you know, going to be harder to do what he did, I think, at the NBA level, just not, you know, playing against guys, you know, now he's going to be the fourth or fifth tallest guy on the floor all the time, pretty much. You know, he's not going to be the biggest guy on the floor. And in college, there are times where he had that advantage. So, I mean, I'm really curious to see what happens with him for sure. But I think there's probably there are real reasons people have concerns. And ultimately, I think it's the analytics side of it. You know, he was so efficient. You know, granted, a lot of his shots are coming right at the rim. But statistically, you know, very strong. And I think that's sort of why teams are considering him that high.
And here with Jeremy Wu of Sports Illustrated, one of the better draft analysts out there, a must read, especially this time of year. And in your latest mock draft, you had the Pistons obviously picking Keldon Johnson, but other guys are available in addition to Langford and Clark that we've talked about. Nikhil Alexander-Walker, Nasir Little, Kevin Porter, and I know Clark's not a wing, but a lot of these other guys are wings. Do you feel like that as a group, that some of these wings that they're cooling a little bit in this process, the teams maybe as they look further into these guys, they're not going in the bottom of the single digits or higher in the lottery? Is that kind of a trend that you're noticing here?
You know, I don't know if it's necessarily that, or if it's just sort of doing process of elimination, you know, kind of knowing we probably know who the first eight guys drafted are going to be. We know, you know, we have a feel for who the top 10, 12 guys are going to be, you know, and this is the next group. So, again, I think it's, you know, you hear chatter about who's rising, who's falling, and, you know, sometimes that matters, sometimes you take it with a grain of salt. But I think, you know, the bigger point is just, you know, these guys are all in a group, and I think, you know, the talent gap in this draft is narrow, I'd say, you know, but even from, you know, 12 to 25 in some cases. So, you know, you have people who are all across the board, and, you know, it's hard to say, you know, we can say what we think and, you know, you get the feedback loop a little bit, you know, from talking, at least for me talking to teams, but, you know, people are all across the board in these guys. So, you know, there are guys you could go from anywhere between 11 and 25. And that's just kind of how this draft is. And it's weird like that. So we'll see. But I mean, I do think to your point, I mean, there are a lot of guys who, you know, are sort of do kind of fit positionally what Detroit needs. They should be able to address it for sure at that spot if it's someone they like there.
Yeah, and just to kind of clarify, like you said, that tier drop off of wings, would you put Dumbaya and and a guy like Rui Hachimura, would you put them in that top tier before the drop-off, or would you throw those two guys into that group of guys that have a little bit more variance of where they might go?
I think they're probably a little bit more secure. I think, you know, both of those guys will end up going in the lottery for sure, is my read. You know, the probably those guys are in the 8 to 13, 14 range. You know, a lot of people think Hachimura has a promise. You know, we're not sure exactly where it is. People are, you know, some teams think Minnesota. I mean, I don't know for sure if that's true or not. But, you know, there's a suspicion there. So, again, these are guys who are probably going to land in that next group. I think Cam Reddish, you know, may end up falling into that 8 to 14 range as well. I don't know if, you know, he goes any higher than that. You know, those guys are probably going to be in the lottery, right? And then you have Jackson Hayes. He'd probably be in the lottery somewhere, and then there's really two spots left. So, you know, it's fluid. It is. And, you know, at least I think peeking right outside the lottery, it's a little tricky right now. I'm just trying to figure out who's going to be there.
And Jeremy Wu, Sports Illustrated, before we let you go, wanted to ask you a little bit about point guards in the second round. In another article, you mentioned the Pistons' biggest needs are wings, obviously, and on the backup point guard position with Reggie Jackson, the final year of his contract coming up, and Ish Smith, the free agent this year. Is there a second-round guy that might be someone who could step in and be the backup point guard this season and eventually maybe be projectable into a starting role? Is there like a backup point guard in this class that you like that could possibly be at 45, or is it just too thin at that position to find someone at that level?
One guy I really like is Jordan Bone from Tennessee. I think he'd probably be on the board there. I don't know if they'd do it. But, you know, he's a guy who I really like in terms of just, you know, the athleticism is really strong. The intangibles are really strong. You know, he had a great statistically, you know, very strong assist rate for a good team at Tennessee. You know, he's not super big, but, you know, I think if you're looking at like the profile of a guy, like, all right, look like Monte Morris, a guy who's sort of, you know, people weren't sure about coming out of college, and ultimately, you know, just the IQ and the passing kind of stand out. You know, I don't know if Jordan is the same type of passer as Monte, but it's kind of the same idea where, you know, he kind of just makes up for whatever he lacks in size just with the other things. You know, Tremont Waters is a guy I think some people like. I like him too. You know, he would probably be on the board there. You know, Shamori Pond is more of a scorer than a passer guy. He should probably be on the board at 45. So that's kind of the tier of guys. I mean, there's Kai Bowman. You know, these guys are not bad. Justin Robinson. And these are all guys who I think have a chance to, you know, carve out a role in the NBA at some point. You know, for Detroit, it's just parsing, you know, which of those, you know, skill sets is more appealing to, you know, how they want to play.
Yeah, and at 45 in your mock draft, you got Jonte Porter of Mizzou coming to the Pistons too. And obviously it's a big crapshoot when you get to the second round, but that'd be just another case of an injured guy with some value that could be down the line that would be nice for them too.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I think, you know, 45 is not a terrible spot to be just because I think, you know, there's always a chance someone falls a little bit. And again, the whole second round can kind of go every which way. And it always kind of does. So, you know, I think they can get a good player there for sure. Yeah, I think for me, you know, if we're talking about this draft, it's like I never thought, you know, if we're saying it's a bad draft, it's just, to me, it's just sort of thinner in the lottery, right? Where there's just like fewer like sure things that we feel great about. But then once you get further down, every year there are guys who end up being good role players and end up in good situations and end up having, you know, real NBA careers. And so, you know, I think this is the same deal. You know, maybe you find someone in the 40s if you do your diligence and whatnot. So, you know, while I think there's probably some reasons to be skeptical, just sort of like it's tricky picking in the late lottery this year. You know, that doesn't mean it sucks to be somewhere else, right? Sort of the same thing. There's always players and you can always find them.
Well, Jeremy Wu of Sports Illustrated, 1 week from today is, as this episode drops, is the NBA draft. So why don't you give a plug on what else the readers can be looking for this week from you leading up to June 20th?
Yeah, we have a new mock draft. We have, you know, top 100. All that stuff is on our site now. You know, we'll have more with, you know, the mocks and whatnot coming up, you know, as the draft is closer. It's crazy that it's so not very far away, right? But, you know, SI.com has all of it, so.
Yeah, and the site looks great. And like I said, reader or listeners should check out your stuff. Jeremy Wu at Jeremy Wu on Twitter as well. Thanks for taking the time to join us today.
Yeah, of course. Appreciate it.
Thanks once again to Jeremy Wu of Sports Illustrated for joining us. You can check out his analysis of each of the picks of the Locked On NBA mock draft, which is on the Locked On NBA podcast feed right now. Picks 1 through 6 came out on Wednesday. Picks 7 through, I think, 13 come out on Thursday. But either way, your boy will be picking at 15 for the Detroit Pistons on Friday. You can check that out. We're going to play the clip of me making that pick for 5 minutes in the war room and talk about what we talked about for the pick. So we'll unveil that one tomorrow. And we'll probably break down another one of the players in the draft profiles, kind of knock those out before the draft, which is coming on June 20th, coming very quickly. And then we're also going to talk about, of course, Game 6 NBA Finals tonight. But the Locked On NBA mock draft, it's got the local experts in every draft room, trades, expert player breakdowns from Jeremy Wu, plus Josh Lloyd gives the fantasy breakdown from the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Desk. It is all on Locked On NBA. A lot of great stuff on this network. Check out all the shows. Check out all the other. We'll have some more experts on before free agency comes on as well. Talk about some of the players that we might be looking at to be joining the Pistons, whether that's trades or restricted or unrestricted free agency, mid-level exceptions, all that good stuff. But as we know, draft coming up on Thursday, June 20th. Excited to bring you the home stretch of that next week and Friday as well. So again, this is your host, Matt Shook of the Locked On Pistons podcast, saying thanks for listening. Thanks to our guest, Jeremy Wu. And you guys have a great one. Enjoy Game 6, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.